Zdravíme všetkých poslucháčov podcastu Slovensko zväzu hádzanej. No a pri mne už sedí technický riaditeľ Slovensko zväzu hádzanej Fernando Gurič. So I will switch to English now and I will not translate it. So I know it will be hard for some listeners of us, but at least take it as a good lesson of English, and maybe we will also gain some new listeners from abroad. So Fernando, hello, how is it going?
Hello, good afternoon, and thanks for coming.
And my first question will be the most recent one, because the Spanish women's national team made it to the finals, and they almost made it to the world title. So how did you see the performance of the whole team during the World Championships, and also the controversial situation that everybody is now talking about?
Okay, first of all, from the side of the Spanish Federation, the Spanish fans, is a great success, because I think 4 years ago we started substituting all the, let's say, old players into this new generation. And okay, the goal for this World Championship was to reach this pre-Olympic tournament, yeah, to end at least in the fifth position. And okay, when they went into the semifinals, it was a great success. So just even to go into the final and to be able to stay in the final till the end, for me it's a great success. Also, is the point of view of the players and the staff of the Repre of Spain, and I think also the fans. Of course, it's a pity to lose, let's say, in the last seconds, and I don't want to say with a bad decision of the referees, because I think it's a good decision. The rules are well applied, so it's not we cannot complain about this, and I don't like to say that we lose because of this or something like this, because we lose because of the whole game, okay? We cannot be focused only on this, but I think it was not very, I don't know if saying intelligent or fair, not to use the instant replay for something like this, to take the decision so quickly without thinking about it. And at the end of the game, everybody is speaking about this action and this decision, even if it's well taken, instead of speaking about a good game, about the good performance of both teams, and a great final that I think is the goal that we should speak about the handball.
Just to explain the rules, because you said they were applied correctly, can you tell me what you told me before the podcast, that the ball cannot be blocked inside of the circle?
Yeah, okay, to speak it easily to everybody, at the end it's like sabotage action, okay, and of course they can block the ball, but the ball must be outside from the area of 6 meters, okay? And the ball was inside, so it's clear red card and 7 meters regarding the rules. I'm not saying the rule is fair or it bring justice or not. It's the rule and we need to follow the rules, and it's well applied.
All right, and do you know anyone from the team? I mean the coaches or the players personally?
Yeah, let's say the head coach and the two assistant coach are good friends of mine. We have done even in the last summer the master coach license together, and also we have good relationships. And okay, for example, Nerea Pena is a good friend. I just trained her, I think one or 2 years when she was very, very young, but okay, we have good relationship, and of course it's a pleasure to watch her in these situations.
All right, let's continue with our podcast and the more lifestyle part. And I give this question to everybody. Why are we sitting here right now? How did you start with handball? And I suppose back then it was the number one sports in Pamplona and Navarra.
Okay, in Spain, we can say sport number one is football. And even in Pamplona, in my city, there's a football team, it's Osasuna. They have got a lot of fans and everybody wants to support them. And even when they were in the second division and Portland San Antonio was winning all the titles, everybody was supporting in Osasuna. So it's a little bit crazy. But okay, I was a teenager. I was studying in the school, in Jesuit school. And we were the Academy of Portland. So just I started playing handball because my friends started playing handball. So okay, it was the beginning. After this, of course, I love the game. I keep on playing, and also I start training because we didn't have a lot of trainers in the school. So this was my beginning, like coach. After this, a group of friends of mine, decided to stay, to continue getting the CBA license and so on. And okay, we had the chance of going to the second team of Portland, like players, also to start training in, let's say, the pre-cadets of Portland. And it was, for me, a really good experience. After this, of course, I helped the A team with the video analyze, with everything else. So I also, let's say, worked like coach there, with the second team, like head coach. This was fantastic, to be in the structure of such a club. It's a luxus. And also I was playing till the second team, because I went to the A team for playing sometimes but I was just the player number 20 of the team. Yeah, but okay, yes, to have the chance of playing and of training with these top talents, Richardson, like Jakimovic, like Kiselev, for me is better than to play any game, okay?
I remember, correct me if I'm wrong, you even told me that in the season when Portland was Champions League winner, you played some games or even on the roster, but so technically you are a Champions League winner, but I'm pretty sure you are not.
No, I'm not. I don't feel myself like Champions League winner. I was in the second team, and of course when the A team needs someone to complete a training, to go to a game or something like this, of course I went. As I told you, this is a luxury, yeah? But for me, this was not my team. My team was the second team. I'm very proud of helping them when I can and of playing in my team, the second team. And for me, this was much more important, okay?
And when and how did the decision came to leave the player career behind and just become just a coach? And there was nothing with injuries? Was it purely a decision based on just wanted to be a coach?
I had some problems with my knee, okay, but it was not the main problem for ending my player career, okay? I had the feeling that, let's say, my head works much more faster than my body. I couldn't stand in the level that I would like to regarding my head. So, okay, I decided that I can continue in handball in a better level being coach instead of being player. And for me, it's not a deception, or it's not okay. I think each one must find his place, and I think my place was not in this level for being on the court. It was for being on the bench, and I have no problem regarding it. I feel very comfortable with this decision, and I will do it again if I need to choose again.
And I know also about you that you are the youngest A licensed coach in Spain. Is it still valid, or someone already beat this record?
I hope someone beat it, because when I got it, I think we were one colleague of me and me together. It was from Barcelona and me. But, I don't know, it's 13 years ago or something like this, so I hope a lot, because now there's a lot of good and young coaches in Spain, so I really hope they already got it being younger than me.
You just recently made your A license. Oh, sorry, master coach, of course. You became technical director. You trained youth national teams of Slovakia. So, is your training career going according to plan so far?
It's hard to say what are the plans. I like to say that in a sport you cannot think in tomorrow, or maybe yes in tomorrow, but not far away, because I don't know what will happen next week. Yeah, and we need to live the present and to be focused in the present. This is much more important. By now I'm very satisfied with the steps I have done, and of course I'm satisfied here. I'm working okay. I think we have enough job to do here, so it's time for being focused here.
Okay, you are already some time here in Slovakia, so when you came, what was the biggest shock for you? And let me divide it into two categories. First is a non-handball culture shock, and second is handball culture shock.
Okay, I speak first about the handball, because this is here. For me, I was quite shocked how many times do we train during the week comparing with the Spanish or the German teams, because I don't know any, I can say, or more or less any team that trains 8 times a week or something like this, with like some players here, okay? So for me, this was a very big surprise, because I think we need to think, if we don't move the players to such a high level training so many times, of course we need quantity of trainers, of training, but also quality of trainings. So we need to think how to develop them in a better way, okay? And okay, I was surprised also because it's a wrong idea that we have. When we move to the north and to the northeast of Europe or middle Europe, we think the people are very cold regarding the character. But this is my personal surprise or something like this, really good surprise. But with me, everybody accepted me really okay, worked with me very okay, were very friendly, and I can only say just the opposite. They were very, very open with me and very, very fair with me.
If you should, tricky question, but if you should describe Slovak people with 3 adjectives, what would it be?
Okay, first of all, friendly, because as I told you, most of the people have been super with me. It's really okay. Second, I can say it's not an adjective for the people, but we love the excuses here. And I hate this, because we need to fight against this. And the third one, I can say open people, because by now, I can only say this. Everybody tries to, although I don't speak Slovak, I understand a lot of words and a lot of things, but I don't speak Slovak. They try to make themselves to be understand to me. They try to explain me absolutely everything. Even if they don't speak, they match themselves being understood, I don't know, with something else. So for me, let's say, it has been very comfortable for me to adapt the style of living.
Now, another tough question, but you came to Slovakia at the same time as 2 other coaches from abroad, which were Danish. They are both gone, and you are still here. Is it just a coincidence, or depending purely on your personalities, or do you maybe find some correlation between the countries, like that means that maybe people from Spain feel more comfortable in Slovakia than people from Denmark?
Okay, first of all, I want to be fair and have a good relationship with both. And both of them, Rasmus and Heine, were very, very friendly with me, and I have no bad words to them, just the opposite, okay? So I want to be fair and clear with this. I can only speak about my personal experience, okay? I can only say that maybe because of the style of living of of the Spanish, let's say, people, the Spanish character, we are maybe more open. We are used to go out to the bus, to drink a beer, to have a coffee, I don't know, and maybe it can help. I don't know. I like to stay with people. I like to stay speaking with people. I don't like to stay alone at home. Also, maybe this is my personal point of view, but when I go to a country, I like to leave the country. I mean, I want to meet the people of the country. I have here only 1-2 Spanish friends. Everyone else is from Slovakia. I don't know if someone from another country, but I can say more or less everybody else is from Slovakia. Every weekend I try to go to a small town or something like this, to visit the town, to go to the Tatras, to go for a walk there, to go to the mountain, to go to Červený Kamen, I don't know. I like this. I know once I live here, I need to know the people, I need to know the country, to know the culture. I like to eat the specialities of Slovakia. Once I'm here, I think I need, this is not an obligation, this is a pleasure. And for adapting yourself to this, I think you must do it. This is my style of doing the things. Of course, I would like to speak much more Slovak, but for me it's crazy, because even it's very difficult to pronounce a lot of things for me, because we don't have these sounds in Spanish, and I don't know how to do it. And although I try, and if you cannot say something, it's difficult to remember it. It's difficult to, so, okay, of course, the humble words, when I say something, the players, you can see they laugh a little bit, but okay, they understand what I want to say. For me, this is much more important to try to say it in Slovak, although they think, okay, it's not well said, but they understand what I mean. I would like to speak much more, and even when I have been here 3 years, because for me, when a foreign player or coach come to Spain and has been, I don't know, 4 years in Spain, and they don't speak the language, I used to say it's a fault of respect. So I would like to say something just for showing respect. Yeah, but for the grammar is impossible for me. I have tried it, and I really don't have a lot of time for studying Slovak now. But okay, I try to at least to get more words. Every time I'm asking the colleagues, okay, how do you say this? It's well, crazy. This is crazy. I cannot say this, but okay, I try to do it. Yeah.
Okay, so what are your favorite places in Slovakia and in Bratislava so far? We have seen the video of the Spanish TV that we're visiting you. You were at Slavin. I also saw on Instagram that you've been with your wife in Bojnice. Now you mentioned Červený Kameň and Tatras. So if you should pick maybe one or two places in Bratislava and in Slovakia.
Okay, in Bratislava, for example, I love the, let's say, close to the river near Eurovea, because when I go there during the summer to the terrace and so on, it reminds me a lot the Spanish way of living, to going outside, to have, I don't know, some drinks, some coffee, to go for lunch there. It's very nice. In Bratislava, I also like a lot the city center, the old city center. I can say I go there 2 or 3 times a week, at least for going for a walk, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, to drink a coffee there and to come back just to switch off a little bit, okay? For me, it's very relaxing to go there. And let's say going out a little bit from Bratislava, I really like, for example, I know it's close to Bratislava, but Devin Castle is really nice, the area. Červený Kameň was okay, and also not only the castle, yes, let's say the area of Pecinok Modra I really like because of the vineyards and so on. Is very special because it remembers me my area in Spain, because let's say the nature is very quite similar, and also all the Tatras. The Tatras is my favorite place.
Okay, and what about your favorite events or experiences outside of handball so far here in Slovakia? Because I know that you have been, for example, at the opera, in the National Theater. You have seen some ice hockey games or ice skating show, Fire on Ice. So what is your favorite so far?
Okay, I have been in ice hockey, yes, 3 times or 4 times, okay? But I really like it. I don't know the rules, but and sometimes I ask someone near me, okay, why do they whistle or something like this, yeah? But it's very nice, the tempo, I really have fun with it. Also, yeah, I was in the opera, but it was my first time, so I cannot compare, but okay, it was nice. And what else? Also, for example, I like a lot of the music, yeah? So all the concerts that take place here, for me, is great, because I come from a small city in Spain. It's 300,000 population, okay? So it's not a capital. When you come to a capital, you can realize, although this is a small capital, the life of the capital, how many events take place here. All the, for example, I like to, when you go to a shopping center, not because of the shopping center, because of the expositions of the shopping center and so on, I like to, but I prefer to stay with the people and to go out with the people, because for a Spanish person, it's much more comfortable. This is we love to stay with the people. We love going for a coffee or something like this. So this is much more important.
What about Slovak food? You already tried some brinzové halušky?
Yeah, I tried the halušky. I know it's let's say half Hungarian, half Slovak, but also of course let's say the goulash, the tartar, and I don't know what else. Some like dumplings with I don't know how to say it, with sugar and with some specialities. Also some let's say own way of making this duck with cabbage and so on. For example, the first time I tasted the halušky was with Mr. President, with Pan Holeša. He told me, okay, but if you don't like, please leave it. I told him, no, but I like every food, I have no problem. And It was quite heavy food, but I really like it. And also, for example, this capuchinitsa that you make in Christmas, because a friend of the Federation, Dupiera, Mr. Dupiera, made it at home so that I can taste it, and they tried to show me all the specialties, and it was very, very nice from them.
Okay, let us move from Slovakia to Spain. So how would you describe your town of Pamplona and the whole region of Navarra? And, for example, why should some Slovak tourists come here to this region and, for example, not to Galicia or Andalusia?
Okay. let's say I cannot say not to go to Galicia, because Galicia is fantastic, okay? but, okay, yeah, and every place in Spain has got this the special skill of Spain, that every different region has got very, very different things to show, different food to taste. So, okay, I'm going to say just the strengths of Navarra, of Pamplona, my city, but not the bad things of the other, because they don't have it, okay? But for me, as I told you, it's very, very easy to adapt myself here, because, for example, I love the nature. We go to go for the mountains, for climbing, for skiing. In my region, you have also ski stations, high mountains, because we have the Pyrenees. We are close to France. We don't have sea, but we are 80 kilometers from the sea. So in 45 minutes, you can be in San Sebastian having a swim, okay? What else? I don't know. For example, the food is amazing. I recommend you to go for the steaks, to go for the fresh vegetables. Also, for me, the temperature is quite similar. The climate, the water is quite similar. Maybe 4 or 5 degrees more than here, but not much more. So it's snowing. It's very, very similar. But I really like the food of Spain from my area. It's the first thing I do every time I go to Spain. It's okay, ask for fish for lunch. And after this, I don't know, next day one steak or something like this. But it's unbelievable. And of course, the most important thing of Pamplona, of my city, or the strength of Pamplona, is the San Fermín festivals. Okay, they are well known in the full world, even in Australia, even in the States. I don't know, and the population of the city rise up to 1,500,000 during these 9 days. So just imagine, it's 24 hours a day party in the street for the small ones, for the big ones, for everybody. It's amazing. It's in July, and it's one of the things that I miss more.
That was also the part of my next question, and maybe I hope it will not offend you somehow, but I have to admit that I have been once in Sevilla at bullfighting, and I wasn't very happy, because for me it seems like a big torture of animals and living creatures. And of course I respect it's your tradition, but for example, if I'm not wrong, I think in Barcelona or Catalonia they prohibited that. So what's your opinion about this?
Okay, I really against this torture of the animals, okay? First of all, I don't like any animal to suffer, and even this. In Pamplona, during these 9 days, we have this bullfighting, but I don't, for example, the people, or most of the people don't go to the bullfighting for watching the bullfighting. It's crazy, because we have, there are in Pamplona some, let's say, clubs, okay? And they are called Peñas, and they go to the bullfighting, but they make party in the bullfighting. So they are cooking, drinking, playing fiesta, and they are not watching even the bullfighting, okay? And, for example, one of the most important things of this festival is the bull running, but it's quite different, and we need to... I want to make the difference on this, okay? Because I don't like the bull fighting at all, and I don't like the animals to suffer. But during the bull running, it's a running of 800 meters, and the people from Pamplona, they are wearing white clothes, and I don't know how to say it in English, but red scarf, something like this, and we run behind the bulls, okay? And we take the bulls from the stable to the bull ring, okay? But the bulls don't suffer at all. Okay, so this is the part I like. I have run there. I don't know how many times, but I have run there. And you don't run the 800 meters. You run just, I don't know, 50 meters, 40 meters, something like this, because they run extremely fast. Okay, but I like this because you see, you can see the animal running near to you. You can not touch the animal because it's forbidden. Okay, but you see how amazing is this animal. Okay, and it's a really, really special feeling. Okay, but I don't like that to suffer. For me, it's crazy, okay, and I want to be fair. So you don't say any bad thing or something like this. I respect every tradition, but for example, there are places in Europe they throw a goat from a tower, and it's crazy. What are you doing? This is the same for me. No animal should suffer.
And another pro or contra question: what is your opinion about the independence of Catalonia? Now with the Brexit and everything, it's more recent and actual.
Okay, it's a very difficult situation for explaining, okay? Because one thing is to speak about the loyalty or the law, and another thing is to speak about the feelings. In Spain, Spain is an old kingdom, and in the past it was divided in some other kingdoms, okay? One of them was Catalonia. Another one was Basque Country, it was called Navarra, okay? Another one was Castilla, the main one, San Granada in the bottom. So when they joined it, it was because of some conquest, and of course some people now, they say, I don't feel myself like a Spanish people, okay? I'm not saying they are right or they are wrong, because these are personal opinions, but at least I think when 2.5 million people thinking one way, you should listen to them. I'm not saying give them the reason, you should listen to them. And of course, if they are complaining about something, we need to think, you are the president of a country, not only for the people that give you the vote or gave you the vote. You are the president of all the people, so you need to listen to everybody. And not to give the independence, maybe, but you should do something regarding this. But this is a very hard point, okay, we can say, or something like this, hard task, because I don't know how to solve this. Because if Catalonia got the independence, the next one will be Basque Country, the next one will be Galicia area, because they also had got a kingdom in the past. So it's crazy.
Okay, we are recording this podcast like 1 week before Christmas. So what is the thing you like most about Christmas? And maybe you can describe us some Spanish traditions, food, and how is it? I mean, you are celebrating on 24th, or yeah. On there are also three kings?
Yeah.
Okay, tell us.
Okay, the thing I miss more is my nephews, okay? Because in Christmas they are expecting the presents and so on, and just to see the faces, the illusion in the faces, and this is the thing I really want to... I miss more. I want the time I go to Spain, I go directly to visit them, okay? And also the family, because of course Christmas is the time for staying together, let's say, and when you're abroad even more, you miss them, you want to go there, you want to meet them and meet the friends, and so is the time. Regarding the days we celebrate them, okay, we celebrate 24 in the evening, okay? We used to stay close to the family, the closest family. 25th, we go for lunch, but for example, we don't celebrate San Stefan, okay, and 26th. So after this, the next celebration is 28th. 28th is the joke day, the fake day, okay, in Spain. After this, we go to Sylvester, okay, and to New Year's. In Sylvester, now I meet my family, but I go out later for party or something like this with my friends, and in the past I used to go to another city of Spain with my friends and celebrated that. New Year's, we also stay together, and also for Spanish people it's very, very important, the 6th of December, okay? Because it's the Children's Day. The three kings bring the presents in Spain, not in my area, because in my area we have three kings, but we also have Olenchero. Olenchero comes on 24th. Okay, instead of Santa Claus or something, or the son Jesus. And as I told you, for me, one of the things that I miss more is to watch the faces. I have one nephew of 3 years old. Each time I arrive, it's, oh, Uncle Fernando, let's go for the soon. Hey, Uncle Fernando, yes, pushing me, and he wants to play, and it's fantastic. Another one of 1 year and a half, so it's great. I miss them a lot.
Okay, now we will have a short music part. So first question is, which is your favorite Christmas song? I have two tips which could be valid for you. It's Feliz Navidad and Driving Home for Christmas, or in your case, Flying.
Okay, I must say I hate the Christmas song, okay? So it was a good question, but I have no favorite one, okay? Of course, both of them are, I don't know if to say nice, inside the atmosphere of the Christmas, but I don't like the Christmas song, okay? I really like, for example, here, the Christmas market, because we don't have Christmas market in Spain, and it's a very, very special feeling here.
Okay, so now here is a second try with the song. In this podcast, we have like this part before we come to the handball part, where you can choose one song, anyone you want. I will find it on YouTube and play it here, and you can dedicate it to someone that you will know will be listening.
Oof, oof, oof. What to say? If it must be involve the handball, okay? I will tell you Fox from Mill and Colin, because it was the song we had in the dressing room when I had my first experience like head coach, and we won the league, the Spanish league. So I will tell you this because I have this feeling. It reminds me this. Okay.
The other day, when I asked how much it cost, I had to pay. All of a sudden, I brought her home. She put on the kilos, strapped the silver chrome. She's my world, she's so rad. She's the best ride I ever had. She's my ride, she's so bad. And she's the best ride I ever had. When I imagine me and her, you know that I gotta stand up for her. I give her oil, I give her gas, and get her seat beneath my eyes. And then the tide of doves drive away. She's my world, she's so rad. And she's the best ride I ever had. She's my ride, she's so bad. And she's the best ride I ever had. She's second hand, so I'll just choose her by my side. For all I care, she's hot and she's the real good.
Welcome back, all the listeners, in the podcast with Fernando Guric, the technical director of Slovak Handball Federation. And we are currently sitting here in Stupava in Hotel Eminent, where you keep going and the boys keep going with the talent program. So, a project which started this year. How are you satisfied so far with this project?
Okay, we started this year with this project. This is just the beginning of it. We didn't have a lot of time for preparing everything, so but this is running okay. We divide the project between boys and girls, and we are working now with 40 players regarding the boys, 40 regarding the girls. We will reduce it because we wanted to watch as many players as possible at the beginning. Now we want to, let's say, choose a group of 32. It's not a closed group. It must be an open group, because in these young generations, of course, they will develop, and we need to follow the players to regarding their good performance. Okay, The idea of this talent program is to start working a little bit deeper with the individual skills of the players, and after this to start earlier also to work with, not with the repres, you know, with a big group of players who can develop or who can bring a little bit higher quality to the repres. Now, in this training camp, this is repre 2004-5. This is not talent program, okay? Because we divide, we make the difference between them. Of course, all the players from the repre comes from the talent program, okay? This is very important to set, and some players from abroad. Because we have in the repre one player who is playing in France, another one who is playing in Germany. My point of view is we miss more and more time for training, okay? But it's not an excuse, because I always will demand for more, okay? More time for training. So, okay, this is just a fact. And like trainers, we always want to be focusing more details. Okay, so this is the first experience for these boys, this international experience. I decide to go for as higher or as most difficult as possible experience. I want to be very honest, because regarding this cooperation with Spain, in Spain it's made every year before Christmas, let's say, high quality tournament. They play always against France, that in these youth categories is like the heaven of the teams, okay, let's say, also Spain, also Portugal, and we are the fourth team. I don't know what will happen. I don't know what to expect, but at least I want the players to fight, okay? There's always a small chance of beating everybody, so we need to look for this small chance. And if we cannot win, but the players try to do their best, I cannot complain regarding my players, okay? This is the most important thing. I want them to try the things we work with. And for me, this is important. If they try, we don't reach the goal, but they try it and they develop, this is enough by now. Because the way of keeping the A level, let's say, is to play against teams of the A level. Not to play against the teams of the B level, to win games and to be very proud about ourselves, because we won against, I don't want to give any name, but against an easy team. No, I don't like this. Of course, sometimes we need to play against some other quality teams, but we need to go to a level of the A team. So we need to play sometimes against this. It's difficult to find the chance of playing against them, because sometimes some repres are very proud about themselves and they don't want to play against B team, B level teams or something like this. But okay, once we have the chance, we need to go for it.
So we will see how our youngest category of repre will perform in Spain against really, really tough opponents. But behind us is already the Olympic Hopes tournament of boys in Poland, and you are following the game. So what do you think about performance of the guys?
Okay, regarding this tournament, I was with them working during the previous week. First of all, I can say they work amazing. Okay, so first of all, we need to be fair with them, not to be focused only in the result, and they work like crazy. This is the most important thing. We miss some players, but the players that were there gave 100%, okay? So now I will not be focused on the players that we miss because of injuries, because I want to be focused on the players that were there. Regarding this, also we had some problems because the head coach of the repre couldn't attempt, and we already know before this tournament, because he had another compromise in this date and he couldn't change it, modify it. So, okay, we managed as good as we could, okay, because I was there for the trainings. After this, Rado Antel, like assistant coach of the repre, of the men, came for helping, and I think he made a really good job, okay. But, of course, the first game, for me, it was really tough for them, because they need to know each other. Rado needs to know the system. Rado needs to know everything they know, how to use the players, how to make the substitution, and it's quite difficult. In one day, it's fast impossible to do it. Okay, so okay, they lost against Poland. Also, there were some new players, and they need to get used to the system and so on. So okay, for me the it was not a good game. It was not, but they fought like crazy. For me this is important. Okay, I keep in touch with the players. We ask the players, okay, their opinion about them, and okay, of course they were not satisfied because of the result. We cannot be punishing the players. They are the first people who are not satisfied because of the result. The first people that don't feel okay because of the game. But they want to keep on working. Against Hungary, I told this in Partille and I told this again. I think nowadays we are not ready for working for playing against them. They are in another level. But against Poland, we can work. And also it was a really good example of the way they want to play, and so was the way they want to fight. They defeat Czech. Okay, I think they play quite okay, 40 minutes. Okay, but it's the first time they defeat Czech, and okay, till the end they continue fighting. For me, this is important. Okay, although they have lost 2 times, it's not important for them. Each day is a new day for them. Each game is a new game. And we always speak together. When I was in Partille with them, when I was before also in some tournaments with bad results, I told them, okay, I don't mind when you make a mistake. I mind the next action. I mind the next ball. We need to fight for each ball because we don't have such high quality now for thinking, we can defeat them without giving 100%. No, we need to fight like crazy for every ball. This is our goal, okay? And after this, if we defend, okay, we fight, okay, we will have chances.
Okay, another question. And I know that all of us at the Federation, we try to think positively. But if you should mention one most biggest problem in the youth handball in Slovakia, and for example, I chose one that I think is a quite big issue, and it is the following of methodics, because I think in many clubs the coaches maybe think they know better, or they are not used to follow the methodics, because in the last maybe 20 years there was no methodics, so or unified methodics. So what do you think about this?
Okay, if we want to speak about the youths, let's say for me we don't have condition and strength, and I think the next thing is not only about the youths. I think we need to cooperate together, and we don't need to realize this like this is a Spanish way of thinking, this is Danish way of thinking, this is a Slovak. No, we need to work together, because if we don't work together, there's no chance for the Slovak handball. I want to be very clear with this. I don't want to say this one has the reason, this one is working okay, this is working in a bad way. No. Just the opposite. But we need to think, we need to develop the players together. If we work in one way in a club, in one way in the repre, in another way in talent program, in another way in the... It's not possible. It's not possible, and it's bad for everybody. It's bad for the club, it's bad for the players, it's bad for the development, it's bad for the repre, it's bad for the federation, it's bad for the country. So we have no success. I don't know. I miss the cooperation. I don't know why, but I want to tell the people that I'm not here for being a boss to tell what to make. No. But we need to find a way of working together, because without all this, it's not only humble, but we need to cooperate together for reaching something.
Okay, next question, and I'm a little bit afraid that you will not be willing to respond this question. Maybe it will be better for the guys, but if you should name 3 biggest talents under 18 of boys and of girls in Slovakia?
I think you should ask the boys. And I'm going to tell you why. I have my point of view. But in these young categories, maybe now I name 2 players, 3 players, 5 players, and one of them develop a lot just in 1 year, and now you tell me, okay, what about this? They are very young. Some of them have grown up quite early. They don't have the coordination. For example, I'm going to give a name of 2000, okay? We have Lubo Berlai, okay? He's 2-meter guy. He has got really good shooting, and he was not in the repre. Okay, so you can tell me, hey, come on, are you crazy? But, okay. With 70 years old, he was not ready for representing, I think, the team, okay? But if he develop okay, it doesn't mean that he cannot be in the main repre. Why not? If he develop okay, if he work okay. Okay? It's the same now. We have in the talent program 1.96 meter player with good coordination. He needs to work with handball, work with the condition. But maybe in 1 year I tell you, oof, he's a machine of handball. Yeah? I can tell you here, I have now 18 players. Only 16 will go to Spain, but we have 3 goalkeepers. 1 will stay here, and 3 of them are super. And we also have another that is super, at least, but 2 other that can develop to this level also, at least. So how to say only 1? Yeah, it's the same regarding some back players, but this is very important. For example, now in this tournament, in this Olympic Hope tournament, I miss the condition. I miss a lot the condition. And if we want to move to the A level, we need to have better condition. Maybe the condition we have is enough for playing. I speak with some players of pressure, for example. And they tell me, Fernando, but we are working quite okay the condition. And even we have better condition than most of the teams. We won most of the games or every game. Yeah, but it doesn't mean you have a good condition. And we cannot be confused because of this. We need to show them they need to develop, to work much more, if we want to move them to this level. If it's okay for us to stay in this level, we are satisfied just with winning a championship here, that of course has got an importance, okay? And brings a good job also. I want to be fair with every trainer also, of course. But we need to press them a little bit higher, I think.
Okay, I'm sure that many of the fans wanted to hear some names like Krawczak or Lancová, but I definitely understand your answer. So it doesn't really mean that the talent means everything, right? It's maybe also, or not maybe, but definitely also the question of hard work. Do you have some experience, or maybe can you give us some example where maybe the hard work was more important than the talent? Like some hard worker, I don't know if Grubindo or it's the case of talent with him.
For example, I 2 players that I trained that now are playing in Champions League. Okay, just to give 2 differences. I'm not saying one is not hard worker. I'm saying one was really hard worker and the other one has got the talent also. Okay, both of them had talent. But Nico Mindegia, he's playing now in Wisla Plock. For me, it's a great talent, okay? He's a hard worker too, but he has got this magic inside, okay? This special magic. Gurbindo, he has not super shooting. He is not very, very strong. He is not very, very fast. He is not... He has got nothing in the 10 level, in the top level, okay? But he's in the average level, more than the average level in everything. He makes no mistakes. Noticing mistakes. He has got good shooting from 8 meters. He has got good finta. He has got good defense, 2 against 1. So play with the pivot. He's intelligent like crazy. So, okay, for me, this is a way of showing, okay, without being or Nerea Pena. You can show now Nerea Pena. Nerea Pena now is one of the top players of the Spanish repre, okay? But she's not 1.85 meters. She doesn't have... That's a good shooting, of course, but she's not Veronica Christiansen regarding the shooting. She is not very, very strong, like, I don't know, Ricarda Morim. She's not, yeah, but she's in the top level because of the hard working. So we need to realize this, okay? Silvia Navarro, for example, the small goalkeeper. Everyone is telling every time, oh, but she's too small. Yeah, but she saves.
Okay, and you told us already in the first part about the Slovak language and that the grammar is just too difficult. But you told us also that you know some handball words, so I prepared a little test for you. I got 5 Slovak handball words, and let us see if you, or let us hear if you can guess them. So the first one is prerážanie.
No idea of this. I'm watching the words, I no idea, but...
Maybe the shortcut preraz, no? Preruš? Preruš is different.
Yeah, to make the contact, yeah.
But prerážanie or preraz is an offensive foul.
Okay.
Okay, second one, let's try Štepák.
No idea. No idea. Macho, you are being a bad guy with me.
Okay, Štěpák is wax. What do you use for the fingers? Yeah, the wax. Third one, trhák. Okay, maybe protiútok.
Protiútok, yeah, kontra, of course.
Now this is difficult one. It's more like a slang, but schleiza.
No.
Schleiza is how do you call it in Spain? Spanish?
The pin shot.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Spin shot.
For us is rosca. Rosca in Spanish.
Okay. And the last one is America. America or nahadzovačka?
I suppose it is like an action or something like this. Yeah. Okay.
But in German, and now you will know, they call it kempa.
Oh,
so okay, yeah, so yeah. How is it? How is it in Spanish?
Fly.
Fly,
yeah.
Okay, so only one out of five, but I'm sure you learned some new words again. You can use at the training with pre-cadets now. And another language you're learning right now is German, and I know that you use it also for the communication with Rado or Rastio. But how is it for Spanish to learn German? Because the grammar is also maybe too difficult, and wouldn't it be easier for you to learn Spanish? Oh, sorry, French.
Okay.
French.
Okay, for example, when I was in the school, I learned English, and also in the last 3 years, I think, or something like this, I learned a little French, but I already forgot everything. And the German for us is quite difficult because it's very, very different overall because of the pronunciation and the grammar for the Spanish people. But okay, more or less, I understand everything in German, and I can make me understood, okay? For me, it's a key to know German here, because for speaking with Pavel Streicher, with Rastio, with Kuko, with Rado, even with Micho Baran, with Gianni Kolesar, I need it. I cannot speak it. Of course, we understand a little bit in other languages, but I need a German for it, okay? With Thomas Stranowski, like assistant coach of the Repre, with Dudi, yeah, I need it. So let's say it's, I don't know, it's like the saving boat for me, okay? But, okay, what to say, first of all, I start learning German not because of the humble, just because of I'm engineer, and okay, like engineer, I need it sometimes, so okay, I start because of this, but after this, of course, it helps for the humble, and also it's good that you can speak with me in German, you can correct me a lot of things, so it's really okay.
And what about Basque? You speak fluently?
No. Basque... I don't know exactly, but because I understand a lot of things in Basque. In my area, not everybody speaks Basquish. But for example, in my family, a lot of people speak Basquish, and I understand more or less everything. Okay, but when I speak with my brother-in-law and something like this, they told me, no. But regarding the grammar, you speak about the Slovak is quite similar to the Basquish. Yeah. So, and even some sounds are quite similar. So, yeah.
Okay, we already partly answered this question, but the question is, what are your ambitions as a coach? Because we would be very happy to keep you in Slovakia as long as we can, but for sure, sometimes you want to move further, there will be better offers. So is it Bundesliga, is it Champions League team, is it national team?
Okay, regarding the experience, I would like to have the experience of training in Germany, because Germany or France, because they are both countries with, let's say, or in which the humble is more important, and I would like to have this experience. I don't know when, but not, for example, in a low league. I want to have the feeling of going into a court and to have 3,000 people watching every game or something like this. I would like this, okay? Regarding the team, I don't know. Of course, to train in Champions League must be unbelievable. To train one repre must be unbelievable. To train... But okay, nowadays I'm here, I'm satisfied here, and I need to be focused here. What will happen in the future? As I told you, I don't know what will happen tomorrow, so it's crazy to speak about 1 year, yeah? But okay, I want to be focused as much as I can and here and to work here, because I have a lot of things to do here.
I didn't write this question down, but it's when you were just keep telling it, it occurred me on my mind. And it is what happened actually to Asobali, because I remember when I was young, it was... After Bundesliga, the second best league and full arenas, and now it's somewhere behind French and German league. So, what happened? Falta dinero.
Yeah, okay. Even after Hungary, also from my point of view, and I can say now in the level of Poland. Now I think so. Yeah. Okay. Now in 2007, I think because of the crisis in Spain, most of the sponsors of the Asobal League came because of building companies. Okay, so most of these building company crashed down, so the sponsors disappeared directly. We missed a lot of players, of top players, I think. They went out. Also, the most important players of the Spanish Repre went out. And nowadays, only Barcelona is on the top. And the next team is far away from Barcelona. Okay? For the fans, it's hard. It's very hard because you cannot watch so many top games. But in the last two, three seasons, I think we, or the Asobal League, made a really good thing because they pressed the average level a little bit up. Because now you have Bidasoa Irún. They are not super, but they defend like crazy. They are working really okay. We have Ademar León. They signed back Manolo Cadenas like coach, one of the best coaches for me of the world. And he's training with the academy, training with everything. They push up Ademar to the second position now. Working really okay. We have Naturhaus La Rioja. They played two, three seasons ago against Preshop, I think both seasons. Okay, they are not in this high level. They made one step back, okay? But they stay between these teams. Cuenca, the same. Granollers, the same. So we have five, six teams in this, I think, good level, okay? And after this, we have another group of teams that is Anaitasuna, is the club of Pamplona. It's Benidorm. It's Maybe I will miss some teams now. Okay, but I want to be fair with everybody. But they are working really okay. Atletico Valladolid, and okay, they are working really okay with the academies. And after that, we don't have now enough money for keeping the players, and they are going abroad. But for me, it's not a mistake. Okay, they continue growing up like players, developing like players abroad. And it's okay, but we need to be realistic also. The problem is the money, that's all, okay? But it's not a problem of the handball. Besides the football, it's a problem of all the sports in Spain, because after this crisis, we had some problems. Also in the society, okay? Because the salaries went down a little bit and so on. But okay, we need to find more sponsors. We need to find another ways of sponsorizing. We need to be more creative, I think.
Okay, in your opinion, what is the most important as a coach or for the coach? And probably it will be kind of a mix of everything like tactics and personality, but if you should choose maybe two or three things?
For me, the main thing is the relationship with the team. Regarding the team, the relationship with the team. For bringing 100% of the team, I need to... the good atmosphere between them and me, them and the staff... because I think they know I will press them like crazy, but they need to understand this pressure. But I will push. Okay, I cannot stop. I keep on pushing. And regarding the management of a federation, of a club, I think the key is to feel the confidence of the people. If you don't feel the confidence, you cannot work, and you must leave directly. But it's the same for the players. If the players don't have the confidence for working with you, if they don't trust you, don't believe the things you want to move to them, it's not only a problem of the players, it's a problem of the coach. I remember with 2002 and 3, I will not say the name, but I will say the experience, okay? For me, one of the talented players of the Repre, okay, after the first training camp, I arrived home and I was speaking. I was not satisfied. And I told the vice president of the federation, I'm not satisfied. But why, Fernando? Because I'm not taking out what this player can bring. And it's not a problem of the player. It's a challenge of me. But I couldn't reach the mind of the player. So I was quite pissed on me because I couldn't bring 100% of him. Yeah. So, okay, after two, three training camps, I found the key, yeah, and okay, now of course we have good relationship, they trust me, I think, and I can bring everything from him. This was the key for me, but it's not about tactic, it's not about, of course you need to have the knowledge, because if you say one day A, next day B, next day C, no one will trust you, but you need to find a way, this, I don't know, brain training, this mental coaching, yeah, this is for me much more important maybe.
Do you think that nowadays it is still possible to be a coach with this autocratic style and shooting on the players, or is it kind of a mix of between democratic and autocratic, which is more preferred today?
I don't know if there's a chance of it, but at least I don't trust it. This is what I can say. My experience, not only for the youths, also for the A-team. If I tell a top player like Mikhail Yakimovic in the time to, hey, you must do this, he will tell me, idiot. What can you show me to do when I have won 3 times Champions League, I don't know how many titles, Kiselev, I have won every title that it's possible to win, and you want to show me something? Like, come on, you are 20 years old, yeah? So I think you need to have the respect of the players, but you don't win the respect because of the age, or you don't win the respect because of speaking loud, or no, you win. I don't need to, of course, sometimes you need to scream, but you cannot be screaming like crazy every day. You need to win the respect of the players because of the knowledge, because of the way you treat them, and of course you will press them, but you cannot be just pushing, just, I don't know, I don't trust this.
All right, Fernando, that's the end of this podcast. Thank you very much. And you are right on time for the lunch and then later for the training. So thank you again and Merry Christmas.
Thanks for coming. Merry Christmas to everybody. And okay, see you soon.